to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. So, Farrell on the bench on a pain-free Friday. Mavia's with me. So, Mavia, you know, I think earlier in the week I made fun of, not trying to be mean or anything. I just made fun of the, you know, the father-son trip thing. Do you remember when I told you the story?
I do, yes. The Phillies was Diamondbacks that your son's going to?
Yes. Well, so it turns out, because I got a lot of heat for... You know, just even so what happened was, is that like my son came to the dinner table and he knows me and so does 34C and so does Chopper. And they all know that I'm a, you know, basically that I, you know, I play basketball. Right. That's it. That's what I do. I just don't care about like I go golfing once in a while, once in a blue moon. And I can hit the hell out of a golf ball, but I just don't care about it. I think it sucks. And I just think it's a pain in the ass. I think it's expensive. I think it's long. I think it's, you know, just, you're just sitting there for 5 hours or whatever, like with somebody, you know, golfing and spraying shots all over the place. You're either scoring or you're not. If you're not scoring, I find it unappealing. Like, when I used to be a six and I lived in California, I played 6 days a week and I was a great golfer. I loved it. When I'm a 15 in New York and I never play, I don't like it. So they know me and they know that I just play basketball. So tomorrow and Sunday, I play basketball for 6 hours. That's it. That's what I do. I get up tomorrow and I play ball and I fill it up. And I've gotten exceedingly better over the years playing. And I'm like lighting it up now like I never have in my life. I've become like the primary scorer now over there. There's a few guys that can play with me and score with me. And Mavia, all the great players that were there when you were there, they're all gone. So I've gotten way better. And I just work so hard at my game that I just, you know, I can light it up and score on anybody. I enjoy it. I like playing. I like going to the hole. I like filling it up. I like finishing. I like winning. I like playing. I like feeding dudes. I like playing with good players and winning. And I just don't like doing other things. You know, that if that makes me a D, then so be it. So what it's given me is this image of I'm just not a good father. I get all that. I get all this. You know, you're just a horrible father because all you do is play basketball. Meanwhile, I play basketball with my son. You know, he plays with me. he plays now every day with me. So he's there every Saturday and Sunday playing. And he's a great player. No one can stop him either. he's a great player. Like, he would blow your mind, Mafia. You haven't seen him play in a while. And, I mean, he will blow your mind because you missed the boat, bro. The boat's way out to sea, man. It's in Shanghai now, the boat, because it's sailed from you a long time ago since COVID, right? So he's been playing with grown men and brothers and everything else for 2 years since you've seen him. And he's just a badass now playing. And no one can guard him. No one can stop him. And so we're at dinner the other night, and they're like, she's like, you're just a horrible father. You're the only father that's not going. Every single father is going with their son on this trip. All you ever do is play that damn basketball. Horrible father. I'm going to shut you down sexually. There'll be no nookie until you change your ways. Oh, I listened to all this, and then my son's laughing because he's like, I know you're not going. I know you're not going. I know you don't want everything to do with these people. We welcome in our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map Radio in H-Town, Sports Byline in the City by the Bay, Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell on a Bench on a Pain-Free Friday. Good to have you with us. It's Pharrell and Mafia. So anyway, they're giving me the business. I'm a horrible father. Everyone's going but me. I hate you forever. I'm never going to do you again. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just such a horrible person. I just took him to surfing in California and lived in a mansion on the beach for 9 days. That only cost me 20 large. And I'm like, as they're all sitting in first class flying to California back, drinking wine, smoking fatties. They're all living large, eating in $500 restaurants every night. I mean, I'm such a horrible person, Mafia, as you know. Of all people, Mafia, you know how horrible of a person I am. I'm just such a creep, a negative creep. I'm a negative creep. I'm a negative creep. And I got to tell you the rest of the story because you won't even believe it. Thus, it's Pharrell on a Bench.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go downtown.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
Scour the sidewalks, find a penny, and pick it up. Or you can get the winning edge right here. And you won't get Tomei. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on a Bench. So anyway, what happened was they gave me all this grief, and I'm just this horrible father and horrible person. And so I took that and ran with it. I was like, you know, because I'm really good at being, you know, difficult. And I said, I don't care what you think. I was just like, that's great. It's just, think whatever you want about me. I'm just this horrible person. That's fine. Run with it. Go ahead. So then that was the end, and I left, and dinner was over, and my son was laughing because he's like, he knew I wouldn't do it. And then so then she started giving me the business like a day later, like, you got to call the guy and tell him that you're not going. You have to respond. What are you going to say to him? I mean, you got to respond to him. She said, I got an idea. You need to call this other guy and ask him if he'll bring Gunner with and be his father. So you want some other guy to be me? She goes, no, because you're a horrible father. I want him to be the father. I go, do you want to sleep with him too? I go, why don't you go sleep with him and see how that works? Because, you know, if you're not going to sleep with me anymore over it, then what's the difference? Because I, you know, look, I'm not crying over here. And she's like, you're just such a D, you asshat. And I was like, okay, I'll text the guy. So then I thought to myself, I'm like walking the dog and I'm thinking, oh God, just the painfulness of it all. Just the grief I've gotten and the the stress and pressure and just the hatred and vile, despicable. I'm human being. I'm less than human. So I called the one guy up. I said, listen, I'm really busy. And I said, you know, come Saturday, bro, I'm like balling. I don't even know anything about like going on some overnight thing with a bunch of kids. I just don't. That's not my thing. And he's like, don't worry about it, dude. I got him. He can go with us. He's best friends with the guy's kid. And I was like, aren't they like best friends anyway? Can't you just like, you know, bring him home or something, or take him and, you know, chill out with him and then bring him home? Because the kids, once the kids hang out, they don't hang out with the dads. All the dads sit around getting drunk, right? So I'm like, can't you just bring him home? You know, whatever. No big deal, right? He's like, dude, I got you. He goes, I'm going to the dead show, and then I'm going to drive down to Philly, and then I'll bring him home. Don't worry about it. I'm like, all right, that's cool. Thanks, dude. Later. So then I'm walking around a little bit more, and I think to myself, you know, I got a buddy that goes to the games that's a sharp. He's like a heavy. He's a massive gambler, this dude. And Mafia knows who I'm talking about. And this dude, he bets more money than God. And all I know is he sits there all night betting, and he's got like 15 to 20 phones going betting right in the state of Pennsylvania. And he's like, you know, he's there on business, but he rolls down there in a $200,000 car. He gets big fat ass suites in the Borgata because he's a heavy. And I thought to myself, you know what? If I call him up, I could actually make this more appealing for me, because I'm a selfish, negative creep. And I, you know, I can go hang out with him. And he sits right behind home plate. I mean, he doesn't have any of this sitting down in the upper deck in the third baseline, you know, with the whole group of people at a discounted ticket price. I don't have any of that. I mean, you know how I roll. If I'm going to go, I'm going large or I'm not going. And so I called him up. I'm like, yo, hey. I said, are you going to Philly next Saturday? He's like, yeah, man, I'm going Saturday and Sunday. I go, you got that big suite. Got it. He goes, yeah, I got it. I said, you want to play ball Saturday? And I'll go with you. Just get me a seat with you behind home plate. He goes, yeah, man, no problem. And I was like, you want to drive in your $200,000 Mercedes? He goes, yeah, man, no problem. I said, do you need anything from me? He goes, yeah, you know. I'm like, all right, I got you. Let's go. So I called the other guy up, and I said, the guy running the whole thing, I said, listen, just get a ticket for Gunner. I'll meet you there. I'll see you guys at the stadium. He goes, are you going to stay over? I go, yeah. I go, I'm staying over. He goes, great. I go, I didn't say where I was staying. I'm staying over. Mafia, I ended up cutting a deal to go with the right people. Does that make me a horrible person? Yes. I'm not actually going with the group, but I will be in the same place as the group, and I'll be willing to be friendly and hang out with all of them for a few minutes. Until I go to
the popcorn stand before you hit your seats.
Yeah. And I'll buy Gunner an ice cream, and then maybe his friends. I'll buy all the dads a beer. You know, I'm not cheap. So I'll buy everybody a beer, and I'll buy my kids some ice cream. I'll get some ice cream. And then I'll go sit in the, you know, $500 seat behind home plate. And then when the game's over, I'll go to the Borgata and gamble all night and look at prostitutes.
He's going to buy me a beer, like, hey, tell my wife I hung out with you. All right, see you later.
Yeah. I said, listen, man, no problem. I'm the, you know, going father-son trip. I said, let's go. I told Gunner, I go, hey, Gunner, you want to go to the casino? You want to go hang out with your old man at the casino? I'll teach you about hookers and blackjack, free bet blackjack. Got to work on your makeup so you're 21, but I think we can do it. I think that was just a fantastic way to get to, you know, be a part of all the kids' lives. You know what I mean? Mafia, just once again, I've beaten the odds. They called me all kinds of names. I'm a horrible person. I'm a deviant, and I'm a felon. I'm a just terrible father, bad lover, everything else. And that, you know, I'm reckless, but I've shunned all those labels. I've shunned all those images. I've shunned all those descriptions and just the taunting that I get from my wife, 34C, giving me the business. And then I've shed that skin, and I'm going on the trip after all next Saturday. I'll be going down to Philadelphia to live large with a massive gambling addict and his many millions of dollars. He parties like a rock star too. I mean, just lives fat and filthy large, spends tons of money, eats the finest restaurants, stays in big giant suites that are comped because he's got a massive, you know, line of credit there. He just bets his ass off. The guy bets $500,000 every month in this place. We're going down large like we're Elvis. Father-son trip.
And how much are you paying your son to give you a glowing review to your wife when he gets back?
Who cares what she thinks at this point? I'm gone. She'll probably have like three lovers over to the house. The minute I leave, she'll be probably rocking it with dudes. Who knows? The whole thing's sketchy. You can't trust these chicks. They're always up to something. And then I'm just a wonderful human being. By the way, Washington won 17-13 over the Bengals. I hit Washington to win and the Bengals plus 5.5 with the double. Cover! Mafia, I'm 4-0 tonight in the NFL preseason games that don't matter unless you got a betting problem like I do on the grid. Check out who.
It's more than just odds. It's more than just matchups and lineups.
It's everything.
All of it blending together to give you the complete picture.
And you'll only get it right here.
On the home of the Winning Edge, this is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
Says I'm not getting dad of the year, but he did like my style in setting up the father-son trip so that I can live large, sit behind home plate in $500 seats, stay in a big-ass suite at the Borgata, gamble all night till the sun comes up, and hit on hookers. That is just a fantastic father-son weekend where my kids will all be in the cheap seats with their loser friends. And I'm over there partying and driving in a $200,000 Mercedes to the game for 2 hours from New York City and pimping in a two-story suite at the Borgata. Mafia said he's sending in my credentials for man of the year. I don't think I'll win, though. But Fish will. Brian Fisher, the Fish, is back. The Fish that saved Pittsburgh from Athlon Sports is back on the bench in the biggest way possible. How you doing, Fish?
I'm doing fantastic. Good to be on with you again.
My man. All right. So let's start with this. I want to get your reaction to the ACC and the Big Ten, Pac-12, Alliance, whatever they want to call it. That's fine with me. Let's face facts. Oklahoma and Texas screwed the Big 12 and ran off to the SEC. And that just set the entire world on fire from here to California. I mean, you can't even get out of the way of the Santa Ana winds. The changes are a-blowing in college football. What's your reaction to what's going to be announced next week that they're all lovers now?
Yeah, I think the details are certainly a little bit light at this point. And this is still early in the process. You know, I think that's important to keep in mind. Obviously, we're all still kind of reacting these last couple of weeks to what happened with Oklahoma and Texas. And frankly, there's just a lot of new faces involved. There's a lot of new athletic directors out there, a lot of new presidents, and even some new commissioners. I mean, George Kliavkoff is 6 weeks on the job, you know, in the Pac-12. And, you know, he's really just kind of getting to know his conference commissioner peers. But I think there is a general sense that they needed to do something to kind of counterweight what's been building in the SEC and just the power that, you know, Greg Sankey has amassed, both inside that NCAA structure and outside of it, grabbing all these big brands, certainly the prestige that he's had in terms of leading the college football playoff expansion discussion. So I think this is really just kind of a way for a lot of these conferences to kind of get together, see what kind of common ground they have, and see where they can kind of move forward as a voting block. You know, this is 40 plus schools of some big hitters, and they can make some pretty big decisions if they want to kind of go out alone, regardless of what the SEC schools want to do, or regardless of what some of the other schools around the country want to do as well.
Do you think that it stripped the Big 12 naked? I mean, are they not left holding the dirty laundry? I mean, it's amazing to me what's happened to that conference over the years, from the Big 8 to the Big 12 to the Nebraskas of this world leaving for the Big 10, which I've never been comfortable with. What do you think happens to that conference other than they got kicked right in the onions?
Yeah, I think, seeing the Big 12, you know, as somebody who grew up in Big 12 country, and, you know, back in the Big 8 and the Southwest Conference days, it's been amazing to kind of see the leagues up and downs. And I think it's just a real realization of how much Oklahoma and Texas really did mean to that conference. And not just in terms of the big brands, but in terms of just holding the league itself together, you know, as the true leaders, in the Big 12. And, I think the schools that are left over, they are certainly not going to be, you know, one of those quote unquote power conferences anymore. I think that is, virtually assured. They're not going to get the payouts that they're used to from the college football playoff anymore. Once Oklahoma and Texas goes away and the CFP expands, you know, they're not going to get necessarily a voting choice. I think in terms of NCAA matters, they are still kind of grandfathered in with a few of the rules out there. But I think at the end of the day, these are still, you know, really eight schools that are kind of discovering that their value on the open market isn't a whole lot, certainly not from a college football perspective, because, whether you're the Pac-12, the Big Ten, I know there's always the expansion talk and maybe they want to grab these leftovers. But I think pretty far and wide, the consensus has come around from especially their media partners is they don't bring a whole lot of value to conferences like the Big Ten or the Pac-12. You know, adding an Oklahoma State and a TCU, a Texas Tech, something like that, it sounds nice in theory to where you can kind of break into a market like Texas. But, everybody has the detailed numbers on just how much value these schools are bringing. And frankly, it's just not enough to really increase the value of these media rights deals, and that's leaving the Big 12 behind. And they find themselves certainly in a tricky spot. I think that the league itself could still, certainly exist, going forward, and maybe they grab some AAC schools and make a go of it. But the Big 12, as currently constructed, we're about to see its last hurrah these next year or two, or before Oklahoma and Texas eventually make that move to the SEC.
So how dirty do you think it was when they were having, frankly, these secret meetings? You know, they were, doing it all behind closed doors and in, quiet places, hiding and secretive, and, Oklahoma and Texas with the SEC to get out of the Big 12. I mean, they knew they were screwing them. Can you imagine how dirty it was?
Yeah, I think that's been especially the initial reaction after you kind of get over the shock of Oklahoma and Texas, departing for the SEC is just how much, really Greg Sankey kind of stabbed Bob Boolsby in the back. and how much, you know, really the reputations of some of the folks at OU at Texas, you know, that really had some, you know, were held in pretty high esteem. You know, I think there was a lot of folks out there that like Christoph Kane, the Texas athletic director, Joe Castiglione, the AD at Oklahoma, one of the most widely respected ADs in the country, has an entire, you know, really AD tree of folks that have worked under him, really well respected in Big 12 circles kind of before this ended up happening. And, you know, their reputations have taken a hit. You know, I think it's not only in the Big 12, but I think nationally, you know, just people reacting to, you know, how could you keep this a secret? How could you, you know, go to meetings, learn privileges and information on things like media rights, and then you turn around and you hightail it to the SEC? That has really, I think, shocked a lot of folks out there. And, you know, that's, you know, reputation. Yeah, you can kind of get it back, but I think everybody in the back of their minds is it's going to leave a lasting impression and a bad taste in their mouth, certainly these next couple of years as they end up playing the Sooners and Longhorns on the field.
Do you think that that the SEC will change? Brian Fisher from Athlon with us, that, like, because, I mean, I most people would disagree with me, but, you know, and they'll argue with me and they'll get all crazy if I say it. But let's face facts. You know, when you look at it from the perspective of who's good, the haves and have nots in the SEC, right? You know, Alabama, right? LSU, A&M, Georgia, I guess Florida, I'll throw in there. But are you willing to sit here and tell me that, and maybe Auburn, are you willing to tell me that any of those other schools in that conference, I mean, in reality, aren't hacks? I mean, they are hacks. All the rest of those teams are awful. Do you think at some point, and I mean it, they're awful. I think that at some point the SEC wants to squeeze them out and put in Oklahoma and Texas and make it just the haves and no more have-nots.
I have a hard time, you know, seeing that ultimately being the kind of play. You know, I know there's been a lot of talk, especially in the last year or so, of the whole Super League concept and you know, teams getting the boot. But I think that's going to be hard to stomach for a lot of folks, mostly because, you know, the people making these decisions are the college presidents. You know, they are ultimately the ones driving the bus. And, you know, they've gotten to know a lot of folks, you know, at other schools. You know, there is a bit of a closeness, certainly from an academic standpoint, in a lot of these schools, you know, to where you are partnering with Georgia on research and things. So I think there's larger things at play in the SEC in particular that, you know, will keep the league together. And, you know, yeah, from a competitive standpoint, yeah, I think there are definitely some coaches and some athletic directors out there looking a little bit skeptical, saying, you know, yeah, we're going to end up going to 9 or 10 conference games. We're going to be playing tougher opponents, not just playing Oklahoma and Texas, you know, and on that league schedule, but we're probably going to end up playing the Georgias and the Floridas of the world a little bit more often than we have. That's great for, you know, visiting tickets and selling those to your stadium. But at the end of the day, if you're facing, you know, sustained, you know, 5-7 type seasons, is it really going to be worth it to kind of cash that check? And I think that's really ultimately what a lot of folks are kind of wringing their hands around and trying to get a grasp of is the fact that, yeah, for those have-nots, for those non-blue bloods in the SEC in particular going forward, you're going to be making a ton of money. There's no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, on the field, you know, is it really going to make up for it? Is that check really going to make up for the fact that you're going to struggle to kind of get your head and try to get your brand out there to where you can not only win football games, but you know, have some good seasons and string them along? And I think that's the million-dollar question for a lot of those you know, schools that have not won the SEC or are not competing at the highest level. You know, the check is nice, but at the end of the end of the day, you still got to win some football games. That's ultimately what gets people hired and fired. And I think we're about to get on a bit of a hamster wheel with some of those programs trying to break into that upper echelon and probably struggle because it's a stacked deck.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go to a horse stable, find one with shoes, pry one off, and hang it over your door. Or you can get the winning edge right here. And you won't take a hoof to the head. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Ferrell on the Bench with Scott Ferrell on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
So Alabama is number one again, obviously. They lost a lot. And, you know, here they go again, getting all the love. They open with Miami, but then Mercer. They also play Southern Miss, and they play New Mexico State. So you got those three candies, but the rest of it, you know, is a normal SEC tough run. Do you think that it's the same story again where they purge that many players to the NFL and that he's going to come right back stockpiled, locked and loaded, and play for another national championship? Or for once in a lifetime, can we see anyone beat them and knock them off their perch? Aren't you getting a little sick and tired of it? I know I am after 56 years of it in a row. I mean, it's just so painful to me that there's five or six teams in college football that, I mean, literally, actually about three of them matter, but there's about six good teams. I know you sit there and tell me there's all these other good teams, and there just aren't, Brian. There's six great teams, and everybody else sucks. And that's what's wrong with college football, and you know it. We see the same teams play every year for all the marbles, and nobody else matters. The only reason they have all those other schools, hundreds of them, is, frankly, for bettors. I mean, it's great for betting, but none of them have a chance to win anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think the elite teams in college football really do re-entrench their position every year. I mean, just go and looking on those top 24/7 and the rivals rankings. I mean, every year it's the same folks and it's the same head coaches that are in the college football playoff. I think if anything, though, this would definitely be one of those years where you can maybe pick off Alabama. I think I know everybody talks about, you know, the quarterback and replacing a first rounder like Mac Jones and all those first round talents like Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle. Obviously, you've got the changeover in terms of the coordinator with Steve Sarkisian out the door. But I think Bryce Young is going to be a very capable quarterback. They're going to change the offense, tweak it. And I think you go back when Bill O'Brien was at Penn State, he did a really good job in terms of winning football games with not a lot of talent. Now he's going to have more talent than he really ever has been. I know his time in the NFL definitely gets a little sullied his reputation a bit, but in terms of the college game and fitting within that Alabama structure, I think they'll be fine. Now, the question is, I think the gap between them and certainly Georgia, certainly Texas A&M to an extent, if they can find a quarterback. But, you know, kind of the rest of the SEC West is going to be very strong this year. And, you know, if you're ever going to pick off Alabama, given how much they've had to reload this year, that they've lost to the NFL, this is going to be one of the years. But, again, they're one of the elite programs in college football because they have so much depth. I mean, they're able to go out in the transfer portal and get Henry Toto from Tennessee, who's going to be a plug-and-play starter right there, and add to one of the better linebacking corps, not only in the SEC, but in the country. And that's just the fact of the matter of what Nick Saban has built down there in Tuscaloosa. And it's the same, you know, up in Columbus at Ohio State. Certainly, you have Georgia, you have there, you know, you have Oklahoma. I think the trendy pick, it's all the usual suspects again this year. And I don't see that changing in 2021.
Well, you know, like you talked about A&M, can they find a quarterback? A lot of people don't believe in them. And Jimbo Fisher talks a big game about they're going to beat Alabama, and he ends up always getting his ass beat by Alabama. That has to drive him nuts. And frankly, they haven't found a quarterback. I mean, even when Mond was there, I don't think he was bad. I'm not ever going to say the kid was bad, but I really don't think he was. But I didn't think he was good. I thought he was average.
Yeah, I think that would be a fair descriptor. Certainly a veteran, you know, knew that how to play within that offense. And I think that is maybe the more intriguing thing when I look at the Aggies is are they going to evolve, you know, really that offense? You know, I think this is very much a team that is kind of built to play ball control. You know, they've got two great running backs. The offensive line is good. You know, they've really developed a lot of their wide receivers to where they've got a really good mix of guys that can kind of get out there and run different routes. But are they going to be an explosive offense? Because that's really what college football, especially in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, has become. You know, can you get those big time explosive plays? You can't control the ball for 40 minutes anymore. You kind of lean on a good defense. You know, you have to put up points. in a hurry. And that's the big question, I think, when it comes to Jimbo Fisher, is with this quarterback change. You certainly respect him for sticking with this guy in Kellen Mond, but whether it's Haynes King or Zach Calzada, can you get that guy at quarterback that can make those big-time plays that can get you over the hump and beat an Alabama, much less hold off an LSU or an Ole Miss or whoever they're going to end up playing this year? So to me, that's the big question around Texas A&M. They've stacked the recruiting classes. They've got the depth right there. They've got some terrific playmakers, but can they get the offense to a place where they're hitting those big time plays over the top and stopping them on the other end defensively? That's going to be Jimbo's challenge this year. I know he's confident in his team. I know he thinks he can pick off Alabama, but it's going to be a battle, I think, no matter what, given that how tough that SEC West is on paper this year.
Do you think that the expectations in Ames at Iowa State and in Bloomington with Indiana, do you think that everybody's crazy that those teams are going to be as good as everybody thinks they're going to be? Like, Indiana's at 7.5 wins or something in Vegas, and a lot of people, and I went to IU, they've never been good at football my whole life, but, I mean, they had a really good season. I won't deny that. I thought they got a great call against Penn State on the Penix dive to the pylon. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been the same season. And then now everybody thinks they're going to be this great team. Are you buying that they're that good and Iowa State's that good? Or do you think they were just that good because it was a COVID season when no one was playing?
I would buy that a little bit in terms of, Indiana just last year, everything went right. And I think Tom Allen has done a great job just making the steps up, making sure you're building that program the right way to where the depth is better. I think they're comfortable at quarterback. Even if Michael Penix were to get hurt like he did last year, I think with the backup situation that they have in Jack Tuttle, they're a little bit more comfortable. They went into the transfer portal, landed Stephen Carr at running back from USC, a little bit more of an explosive playmaker type. I think defensively, they're pretty almost as solid as you get in the Big Ten. And I think that the program itself is very healthy. Now, whether they can kind of take advantage of everything like they did last year, that's going to be tough. Just those type of seasons do not come along at places like Indiana all that often. And so I think he's built the program to where this can be a consistent bowl team. But whether you're making that jump up into 8-9 wins in that territory consistently, That's going to be tough. I think that is going to be a bit of a stretch for the Hoosiers. Now, for Iowa State, I think they are definitely well positioned. You got the quarterback. You have all American running back in Bryce Hall. It just everything that you want to look for in a team that can play those big time games. They pushed Oklahoma to the brink in that Big 12 title game a year ago. They've been comfortable beating the Oklahomas and Texas of the world. So they know what it takes in that Big 12 play. And I think Matt Campbell is just really a difference maker as a head coach. I think he's proven it time and time again. Whether he's at Toledo or now in Ames, that he can get everybody to believe in that common goal and move forward. And they've got the talent. This is a team that brings back just a ton of experience, and that's going to matter over the course of what we expect to be a much more regular season. And I think if Brock Purdy can really take that next step and elevate his quarterback play, not really throw those untimely turnovers that we've seen him kind of have in his early parts of his career, I think Iowa State is going to be right there nipping at the heels of Oklahoma. I still think there's a gap between those two just because of the inherent advantages the Sooners have. But I think if Iowa State, if they're able to, they don't even need to beat Oklahoma twice. They just need to beat Oklahoma at the right time to win the Big 12. I think they could firmly be in the playoff mix. They are that good of a program right now. It's really the stars have aligned for the Hoosier or for the Cyclones this year up there in Ames, and I would be very impressed if they can ultimately get there and get over the hump. But this is a very good, I think, Iowa State football team for 2021.
Wow, look at your boy Fish tonight, Mafia, getting involved. Brian Fisher, Athlon Sports. Fantastic college football session. I feel like we just played overtime after a long Big Ten battle, and then we went to overtime. We had it all going there, Fish. Thanks a lot, buddy. We'll catch up during the season as college football gets ready to kick off. We'll get you back on the bench and get you on Coast to Coast as well. Thanks a lot, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right. Appreciate that. Good to be on with you.
All right, Brian Fisher of Athlon Sports with us. I wanted to hit the baseball scene a little bit before we get out of here. Scores now and then. Take a look at the wild card standings because things are changing. Look, the Padres are losing to the Phillies right now. 3-2 at Petco in the bottom of the fifth. And they got a runner at first with one out. They need to win that game because the Reds already won tonight. The Giants trail the A's at the Astros in Oakland in the sixth, 2-1. The Rockies are kicking the Diamondbacks' ass, 9-4 at Coors, where they have just literally been dominant this year at home. But on the road, they're an atrocity. And the Dodgers are beating the Mets again. They beat them Thursday night, beating them tonight. It's 3-1, bottom six at the Ravine. And, of course, the Mets have been melting in this 13-gamer that they're on with the – you know, Giants and Dodgers and going west, then coming back east to play the Giants. It's been a disaster so far. They're going to be 1-7 if they lose that game tonight. So the Nationals beat the Brewers 4-1, Astros 12-3 over the Mariners, Reds 5-3 over the Marlins. The White Sox beat the Rays in a big game down in Tampa. Big series there, 11 innings. White Sox win it. Tigers 4-1 over the Jays. Orioles lose to the Braves 3-0. Freed got it done, the shutout. Royals today 6-2 over the Cubs at Wrigley. Pirates beat the Cardinals 4-0 at Busch. Red Sox and Sale 6-0 all over Texas hit that game as well. Yankees 10-2 over the Twins. They own the Twins. I'll tell you what the wild card standings look like when we come back and wrap it up tonight on a bench.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
All right, so tomorrow you got Pacquiao, Ugas, you got UFC Fight Night from the Apex, you got NFL preseason out the wazoo, you got baseball up and down. Go to PharrellOnABench.com for everything, and you'll be styling. Monty has UFC picks as well. So just so we're clear, a couple of things. Tomorrow, if you're around, 1 o'clock, I'll be on Mad Dog Radio on SiriusXM for a quick hit with Chris Plank. I'm doing that. Just a real quick thing, nothing major. And then I just wanted to give you these wild card updates. The Yankees now a game and a half up on Oakland and Boston because – the A's are winning right now, and then the Red Sox already won with Sale getting it done. The Yankees just keep kicking the Twins' ass. I mean, it's like easy money. And then the Dodgers by 9.5 over the Padres, and the Padres' lead is down to a half game. Now, if they lose this game tonight, they're down 3-2 to the Phillies right now in the sixth. It's tied. The Reds have caught them. So the Padres are melting like a West Coast sunset. I mean, it is absolutely a problem now in San Diego. This great team with Tatis and Machado and Hosmer and Myers and, Cronenworth. They have all these great pitchers, Darvish, Snell, up and down, Musgrove, and they are blowing it. I mean, they are not getting it done. That's all there is to it. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday on Coast to Coast at 4 East. Check out. Ooh.